Thank you, folks, for allowing us to come. I know it's a hard time for this church, and my responsibility today is to fill in for your pastor. And that's a big responsibility, and I take it very seriously, and you are in our prayers for you and for the pastor's wife, for this church family. So it's a privilege today to fill in, and I know that's not exactly filling in, but it's the best, I guess, we could do, bringing a Baptist in. I was raised Presbyterian, if that helps any. And Linda, you know, we met. She is Southern Baptist down in Missouri. And so, yeah, that's right. How that is, the Lord led me to be a Baptist. We really thank the Lord for the ministry that He's given us. We've lived in Union now 20 years, just a little over 20 years. I pastored the church there, the Baptist church, for almost 15 years. We've been retired and doing the ministry SIM. And I'm not going to tell you much about that, except we just help people write their life stories and churches we go to. So just thank you so much. Today I want to just share a Bible verse with you that is so important to me. It's my life verse. It's John 3:16. Very familiar verse, probably the most familiar verse in the Bible, except back in Psalm 23. Wonderful verse, and a lot of people have had that for the life verse. Billy Graham had that as his life verse. I remember his son Franklin said that Billy Graham hardly ever preached a service that he didn't mention John 3:16. He was a gospel preacher, and John 3:16 is the heart of the gospel. And so when the gospel goes forth, that verse usually is mentioned. And I want to share it with you today because it is something that has really been important to me over my life. And so if you have it there, John 3:16, I'm sure many of us have memorized it, but I'll read it for you again here. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Heavenly Father, I just pray as we consider this wonderful verse today that we might be lifted up. We might be lifted above this world and to see You in a way, Lord, that would help us to know the importance of being here today and having the Word of God before us. Thank You again, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, first of all, this verse speaks of God's power. God's power. For God so loved the world. That's power. Power of love. God is love. And His power stretches out to all the world. Red, yellow, white or black, I think I got that mixed up. Whatever race, no matter where it is in the world, God loves people. He loves everyone. The children and the adults. Older people, He loves them. And we try to share that with older people, especially as we go to nursing homes and places. And we've been limited to that, as you know. If you've been limited in your life, we have gone to the Iowa Veterans Home for many years and every month, and we got to know some of the residents over there and the chaplains helping them, and we just really miss that, going to the Veterans Home every month. But we know that we try to share with people, especially older people, that God loves them. He loves you, and He loves everyone. That's powerful. God is love. He's powerful. in His love as it reaches out all over the world. God, so, it's talked about intensity, it's strong. His love is stronger. You know, us men, we think of power, we think of tractors and cars and, you know, things like that. I'm always interested in how many horsepower something has, you know, and whatever. Us men are kind of strange that way, at least some of us, and some of you ladies are too. But we find that power is important in our lives as we think of power. Linda and I were traveling out west and on a four-lane road, but it was in the desert there, and there wasn't much going on. We were just driving along, and one afternoon, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and here come two young men in a Corvette. And we were on the old Route 66, but it wasn't them. But it was two young men and a Corvette. And they stayed behind us a little while, and then they pulled up beside us and just drove beside us, four lane, and no traffic anyway. And so they just stayed over there, and I looked at them. I thought, wow, you know, that's kind of weird. They're just staying right beside us. And we went quite a ways. And I looked over at them, and they said, let's go. Let's go. And, you know, we're driving our 2002 Park Avenue Buick. And it does say 140 mile an hour on the speedometer. And I know that Corvette, because I had a friend that had one, it says 160. So I thought, you know, probably not much chance of outrunning that Corvette. I was tempted a little bit. I used to drag race when I was a lot younger and loved drag racing and loved racing. And I, you know, I was tempted. I thought, well, you know, we could have a little time here to stay with them, not very long. But I didn't do it. I didn't do it. And they kept wanting me to do it, and I didn't do it. So they finally got tired of driving there beside us, and away they went. Whoom! You know, away they went. And so I thought, wow, you know, I sure missed a good chance to have some fun here. But we went on, I don't know, a few miles, not too far. And guess what was sitting along the side of the road? A state trooper. And I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I didn't go. I was going 140 mile an hour when I went by that state trooper. Probably wouldn't quite run that fast, but who knows? I never tried it out. It might have. But I can just see the Amarillo. That was probably the closest town, Amarillo, Texas. See the headlines, you know, after the state trooper got a hold of us. Iowa pastor and his wife caught going 140 mile an hour on the interstate or the highway there. And I thought, boy, that would have been quite an embarrassment. But, you know, power, you know, we like power. But God's power is stronger than any kind of power that we could ever imagine in our minds. Because His love is so strong, He loves the world. That's very, very important, His power, His love. Secondly, we see the process of God in this verse. And that is, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's a process. This power, this love, gave. He gave us a gift. The world. His Son, Jesus Christ. He gave Him to us as a love gift. You know how many days it is till Christmas, till Christ's birthday? 65, if I counted right. Or no, 75. I didn't write it down. I counted it on the calendar. I think it's 75. 75 days till Christmas. Then we celebrate that gift, don't we? That love gift of Jesus Christ, God's Son. His only begotten Son. Power. The process. He offers Him to us as a gift. He gave His only begotten Son. You know, giving is so important in life, isn't it? Really important to be a giver and not just a taker. You know, always wanting, but giving out. You know, there's no greater thing in life than ministry. And all of us are ministers that know the Lord. We all minister. And it's wonderful to minister. That is the joy of life, is ministry. You know, as Linda and I do this kind of in our older years, it brings joy to us. Yeah, sometimes we're tired, driving a long way, sometimes whatever, you know, staying maybe in a motel or something, but when I get the opportunity to minister, and Linda does with me with our workshops in SIM, and I hope we can come sometime and do one for you, but Linda has a part in that. She does challenges everyone, all the older people especially, and younger people. And I want to say it, here recently, the greatest blessings we've had is some of the young people that have really come alongside with this ministry. The process of God, that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, giving the gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the process. The New World Dictionary says a method of doing something. 75 days till Christmas. The greatest gift ever, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can never outgive Him, and we can never express His gift of love too many times. I think that's why this verse has been so important to so many people over the years, is because it is the heart of the gospel. It's the gospel in a nutshell, it's called. God's love. That He loves the world. That He gave His Son to come and die on the cross. To shed His precious blood for our sins. To go to the grave, but no, He didn't stay there. He has risen. He's alive. The gift of salvation. The gift of the Lord in our lives. The process. God continues to pour out Himself in this world. This world is in great need today. Our country, part of this world. You know the needs that we have. And you know what will really meet those needs more than anything else? The Lord. The power of His love, the process of His love of giving. When you give, it has a great effect on others. So whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God's program. God's power, God's process that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the invitation. The invitation to come to the Lord. I'm glad that I heard the Lord and I heard that invitation. as a young man. Several years ago, we had just moved to Fairfield, Iowa, where I started work there with Hy-Vee Food Stores as a meat cutter. And I'm glad that we attended a little church outside of town there, Fairfield, one Sunday. And the pastor met us, and we had two little boys at that time, and our daughter came later on. But anyway, one night we got a knock at our door on 4th Street after I'd started there with Hy-Vee as a meat cutter, a trainee meat cutter. And it was a pastor and one of his deacons, and they came in, and he asked me a question. He said, "Are you a Christian?" And I looked at him and I said, "I'm a Presbyterian. That ought to be good enough." He looked at me and he said, "I don't find that in the Bible, that's Presbyterian." And said, "You don't find anyone in the Bible except John the Baptist, of course." Of course, that I'm just kidding there. But anyway, you know, that's not what God looks at. It's important, your group, the church you choose and the people you choose to fellowship with, it's very important. But it's not what salvation is. Salvation is a sinner that comes before God and asks forgiveness of their sins, for God to forgive them through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then ask God forgiveness and have faith in the Lord. You know, it's like repentance is turning another direction. And that's what I was doing that night, because when he asked me as a Presbyterian, I told him I was a Presbyterian, it wasn't in the Bible. He said it wasn't in the Bible, and then he showed me what was, that I was a sinner, and that I needed forgiveness of my sin. And I knew I was a sinner. And I remember that night on 4th Street, there in Fairfield, Iowa, getting on my knees in the living room with that pastor and asking the Lord to forgive me my sins and to be my Savior. And that was the beginning of a life that I've never regretted. Chapter 3 before this talks about that, when it says to Nicodemus, Jesus said, "You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit of God." And that's what I did. And God was faithful and good to come into my life and forgive my sins. And I started a walk with Him. And that's been over 50 years ago. And walking with the Lord, that is the greatest privilege we have in life, to walk with the Lord. God's power, His love, it just penetrates hearts. It penetrated mine. God's process. That is, He gave. He gave and He gave and He gave. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How long is everlasting life? It's a long time. It's a long time. That's the program of God, to bring that into our lives, and that we're not held accountable for our sins, because He took it all. Jesus did there on the cross as He shed His blood for our sin. Well, this verse talks about that power, that process, and the program for the world, for you and me. This verse talks about the greatest love that was ever given. Talks about the greatest gift that was ever given, the Lord Jesus Christ. Talks about the greatest invitation that's ever been extended, whosoever believes in Him, trust Him, will have everlasting life. The greatest delight, the greatest life, because it's eternal. This life will be over. This body is wearing out. It's going to be over, folks, for too long. My wife really has convinced the Lord's going to come any day, and I hope she's right. We sure see a lot of the signs for that. But when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, and I trust that you have. If you haven't, you need to get started with that. When we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, eternal life begins. Our body keeps on wearing out, but that eternal life goes past death because Jesus was the example of that. Death did not hold Him. He has risen. We have that promise for everlasting life that our souls, our spirits will go on forever and ever and ever. It's called heaven. Eternal life. It's wonderful. Today, dear one, we can claim that in our lives. That's why it's my verse. Actually, the next verse then is so important too. It says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Thank you for the wonderful privilege today to fill in a short time here for your pastor. We do pray for them and for their great loss in life. Pray for you, because we all need prayer for one another in these trying days. And God is working. He's able to do above and beyond what we could ever ask or expect. He's working. So thankful for that work. You know, I was just reading the Psalm 71, or I guess Psalm 145. Those two psalms are our themes for sin. But one of them, in Psalm 145, says that God reaches out with His hands and satisfies every living creature. That's what love does. It satisfies every living creature God provides. I've been so reminded of that this week. I've driven by here several times this week. I come this way, we do, when we go to Marshalltown, and it seems like we go over there a lot, Brother Bill. And I drive by your church, and I always think of it and pray for it, and pray for the church down the road here a ways, which we've spoke at a few times. Pray for Christians that will be strong in the Lord and His power and His day. But the harvest. Some of you are really busy with the harvest. It's all around us. And that harvest, when I think of God's hands and giving us food, giving us His grace and His blessings, His mercy and His love, I think of God's hands holding us, caring for us, supplying for us. Thank you, God. Thank you if you're a farmer. We appreciate you so much. God holds out His hands and supplies. What greater supply there is than His love? John 3:16 and 17. God bless you and keep you. Thank you again for the opportunity, and bless the pastor and his wife. Thank you.